Does the theory of an old earth creation confess what the text of Scripture says about creation? I've written an article for the Fall Issues Etc. journal titled More Questions for Old Earth Creationists. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor David Ramirez details his journey from liberal Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The online Issues Etc. journal. Scottish singer Amelie Sondey singing Abide With Me, that first stanza there, during the opening ceremony Saturday for the London Summer Olympics. It is a hymn that is often sung at the close of day, also often sung at the close of life. It is, I will tell you at the outset of our study of this hymn, among my favorite hymns in all of Christian hymnody, Abide With Me. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Arthur Just joins us for the next hour to talk about the hymn, Abide With Me. He's professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Wonderful to be with you, Todd, especially for this hymn. I think many of us claim this to be one of our favorites. I know it was my mother's favorite, and it certainly is one of mine. So I think your hearers, all of them, can resonate with our love for this hymn.
Now, it is categorized in most hymnals as an evening hymn, but it functions in the life of the church and has in the life of Christendom as much more than just an evening hymn. Talk about that.
Well, you know, I think it's a hymn that resonates throughout our life, but especially as we get older and as we face death. I think in many ways it's as much a funeral hymn as it is an evening hymn. And, you know, it comes from the Emmaus story, and you may know that I did my doctoral thesis on that, and so I have a particular fondness for it for that reason. And in the Emmaus story, really what it's about, and I think this is what this hymn is about, something that should be at the center of our discussion, it's a yearning and a longing that's built into us for communion with God, communion with Christ. And that is something that goes on throughout our lives. I think as the evening dawns, there is something about the evening. You know, as Compline does, you know, stay with us, Lord, for it is evening. There's a sense of wanting, needing to be close to God during that time. But it certainly is true as we draw close to death. And the person who wrote this, the text of this hymn, he wrote it right before he died. He had tuberculosis. He didn't know he was going to die, but he thought he was near death. And 3 weeks after he wrote this hymn, he passed away.
Now, you mentioned already that Emmaus, the Luke story after the resurrection, is one of the primary biblical texts here. Take us into that text.
Well, you know, the Emmaus story is about seeing Jesus for the first time as the crucified and risen Lord. And it is this incredible kind of recapitulation of the whole gospel, that the gospel is a journey to Jerusalem where the great events of salvation are going to take place. And how does everybody sort of comprehend that journey? And the fact of the matter is, they don't. They really don't get it. They don't see what it's all about. And so Jesus is walking along with these two disciples who are going home, probably a father and son, most likely the uncle of Jesus, Joseph's brother, and his son, a cousin of Jesus. So people who should have recognized Jesus. And the whole point of the majority of the Emmaus story is, in a sense, rehearsing one from misunderstanding, and then Jesus, of course, giving them the Old Testament understanding of what happened in Jerusalem. But it's a rehearsing of everything that sort of happened in Jerusalem, and in a sense, rehearsing the whole point of Jesus coming into this world. And after Jesus opens up, you know, the scriptures to them and shows them in all the scriptures that the Christ must suffer and enter into his glory, you know, they get to Emmaus, and they want Jesus to stay with them. And here's where the abide with me. Abide with me because the evening is advancing. Fast falls the eventide. You know, the Emmaus disciples are pleading with Jesus not to go any further, as he seems to be wanting to do. They want him to be present with him. And that language of abide, you know, that is the language of communion. That's language of the Lord's Supper, to abide, commune, remain, to be with them in some way that they don't even understand. And that's after that, of course, he sits down at a table, he breaks bread, and their eyes are opened, and they see for the first time in the Gospel of Luke, the human beings see and recognize Jesus as the crucified and risen Lord. And then, of course, he disappears from them. So this wanting to have him present in their home, present at their table, to abide, commune with him, I mean, that is really what the Emmaus story is about, and that's what this hymn is about. That is why this hymn, I think, affects people the way it does. I mean, certainly the words are beautiful, poetic, and the music is just sublime, especially with the words. But there is something built into this hymn about wanting to be with Jesus, and that kind of Emmaus disciple burning hearts is what Luke calls it afterwards. Their hearts were burning. That's what we feel when we want Jesus to be with us.
So this is the communion hymn, too.
I think it is. I think it's a communion hymn. I think it's a funeral hymn. I think it's a hymn for people who, you know, that Augustine sense of you know, searching and longing for God. I think this is something that is sort of just built into the Christian. It's a hymn of pilgrimage. It's a hymn of that kind of that lifelong journey that we are all a part of from birth to death, in which we are in a sense, you know, nourished along the way, but constantly searching because, you know, we live in this broken vessel. We are broken people, and we're not whole, and we're seeking and desiring that wholeness that only Christ can give.
The first stanza of Abide With Me. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. The first stanza of Abide With Me, performed by the Liverpool Cathedral Choir. Dr. Just, what's in this first stanza?
Well, I think you have the first part is certainly simply almost, you know, in poetic form, right out of the Emmaus story. But then in the second part, he sort of interprets it for us. I mean, what are the Emmaus disciples? What are all of us looking for as the darkness deepens and we yearn for the presence and that communion with Christ? We realize that there is nothing in this world that abides like Christ. You know, no comfort can do it. And I mean, one of the great lines is "Help of the helpless." I mean, this hymn gets what it means to be totally broken and in need of somebody who can fill what only God can fill. And we are helpless, and we need help, We are in need of comfort, and this is especially true when we're dying, and it's especially true in the evening. And you can see that these Emmaus disciples knew that there was somebody there who could fulfill their every longing.
It says, when other helpers fail and comforts flee, is that going to inevitably happen for each and every one of us, about a minute and a half before our break?
Well, we are all looking for someone to fill that loneliness that we experience in life. It's the loneliness that is just built into our DNA. And our spouses, our children, our friends sometimes help, but ultimately the only one who can do that is Christ himself. And he does it through other people. That's sort of the incarnational character to it. And he does it through hymns like this. I mean, a hymn like this is what shows us who it is who truly fills our loneliness.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're talking about the hymn, Abide With Me. We've heard the first stanza. When we come back, we'll hear the second one. We'll study it stanza by stanza, and then at the end of this hour, we will hear the entire hymn, Abide With Me, and we'll get Dr. Just's final thoughts. He's professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. It's a prayer that every Christian will necessarily pray, if not today as the sun goes down, sooner or later when life's sun goes down. Maybe that's why our days are ordered this way. Maybe that's why every day has that beginning and then that dark end, to teach us that life is the same and the same Savior abides with us in his body and blood all through both. We'll be right back. Why didn't Lutherans abandon many of the worship practices of the medieval Roman Catholic Church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Faith and Act, The Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Faith and Act at issuesetc.org. Faith and Act, The Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Over summer, 2.5 months of what a child learned in school can leak away. Call Sylvan to turn summer learning loss into a gain. Sylvan pinpoints exactly what skills your child needs in just 3 hours a week over 12 weeks. You'll see results in your child's math or reading performance improving one grade level guaranteed. Demonstrated through the pre and post assessment. So call now. At participating locations only. Some restrictions may apply. Call for complete guarantee details.
Sylvan Learning Center of Edwardsville, 618-656-0500. 656-0500.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the hymn Abide With Me. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. People often try to explain to those who don't listen to Issues Etc. or haven't yet listened to Issues Etc. what the show is all about. And I'll grant you that the title Issues Etc. is rather general. Well, that's because we cover a lot of issues. And you can kind of see that in perhaps a minute or not too much more than a minute in our latest YouTube video. It's called Soundbites of Issues, Etc. It's available at our website, and we'd really like for you to share it with people who haven't yet listened to Issues, Etc. IssuesETC.org, right there on the homepage. As you scroll down, you'll find our latest Issues, Etc. YouTube video. Watch it yourself, and then send a link via email or share it via Facebook with all of your friends. Thank you in advance for doing so. Dr. Just, the second stanza that begins, "Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day," what should we be listening for here in the second stanza?
Well, you know, one of the kind of the very understated but certainly present aspect of this hymn is the fact that we live in a kind of a suffering world, a world in which, you know, the decay that it's going to talk about all around I see. I mean, that decay is seen in our brokenness and sin and, you know, the onslaughts of the devil. And I mean, we live in a very difficult world, and there is suffering. And what happens when it's dark, when it's night, when it's near death, is that we sometimes, our defenses are broken down, and we get sort of overwhelmed by the decay and the darkness. And even, you know, it's going to talk about earth's joys grow dim, the glories pass away. We get reduced. I mean, that's what suffering does. And who can we depend on? Everything is changing, as this verse says. Everything is in flux. And that's why we want to abide with the changeless one. That's why we look for the one for whom there is no changing. And it's this hymn just nails that, and it does it in such a beautiful way. I mean, this is why hymns are great, because they're poetic and they take language and they put it in such a way that it's memorable. But this verse acknowledges the context of what darkness, evening, death, the end of life, really the kind of the melancholy that we feel, you know, in the evening when we realize that, wow, there's so many things that are overwhelming us. This verse captures that. That's what we should be listening for in this verse.
Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Just, it's kind of the common human experience, if you live long enough, when you're young, the summer lasts forever, school day seems to just drag on forever, and the older you get, the faster life's pace seems to progress and you've talked to people like I have, beloved elderly parishioners, who say the calendar then just starts to spin, and the years fly by, and they realize as time goes by that this life is short. Talk about that with especially those opening words of that second stanza.
Well, I have a colleague who always says there are so many ticks left on the clock, and he's getting up into his 70s. And, you know, there is a sense that we don't have the luxury of time anymore, that we're savoring every sort of last thing that's coming along. And you're right. I mean, and certainly the older folks in our midst really sense that. I sense that, and I don't really consider myself that old yet. It is, you know, a reality, too, as you get, you know, to see your children grow, your grandchildren come, and you see in them yourself, both your good and your bad. And it's probably a blessing in a way that we become, as we grow older, more conscious of our mortality, more conscious of our sin, more conscious of our brokenness. And I think that's why, you know, I always, when I do a seminar or something and they want to close with a hymn, especially if there are folks in there who are a little older, I always close with this hymn because it so resonates with folks who are older and the young too. I mean, it just captures that character of life that, you know, the Psalms capture. I mean, if you look at this hymn in Lutheran Service Book, it does reference two Psalms, Psalms 63 and Psalm 73. But, oh man, the whole Psalter is about the fact that we live in a very fleeting world in which our lives are just a blink. And we sometimes think that we're so important because we are the center of our own existence. But if you look in the big picture, we really are a very small part. And I think that this hymn recognizes how we are really sort of captive to our fleetingness. So it's the word I'm looking for. You know, we're captive to our own sense that, yes, we are just a very, very brief part of the larger cosmic plan of God.
The fact that Christ does not change is put forth in Holy Scripture as a source of comfort for us. Now, I guess it depends on how one views Christ. If Christ is mere lawgiver and judge, the fact that he doesn't change really can't be any source of comfort. But the biblical view of Christ, what in that makes his changelessness a source of comfort for us?
It's his mercy. I mean, it's his mercy and his forgiveness and the blood that he shed and what he did. I mean, that's why Emmaus is such a great, you know, story, because it's about his mercy and his love that comes from the events in Jerusalem. I mean, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. I mean, that is changeless. That is the plan of God, and it was for us. It was for us because we are broken people. We are people who get lonely at night and get melancholy and maudlin even, and don't really know what to do when we get that way. And we know that wherever we go, I mean, no matter what we do, it doesn't satisfy us. We need something bigger, something greater. I mean, that's why we go to the table. That's why we go to the Lord's Supper, because we know that that is something that is eternal. That's where we get to taste eternity. And that eternity is something that is, you know, unalterable. And we want to be a part of that. And, you know, we're told that over and over again. That's what our baptism is about. That's why we yearn for the Word of God, because in the Word of God, it, you know, it enters our bodies and it brings us into communion with the Eternal One. But our lives sort of, in a sense, testify to everything but that. And so that's why we yearn for the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His promises are sure. They never change. He promised to come. He promised to die. He promised to have his blood flow so that it would flow over us and cleanse us and wash us and forgive us. I mean, that's the changeless one. That's why we love him.
Here's stanza 3. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, O abide with me. Dr. Just, the hymn writer here connects two things that we've talked about already. His Christ's presence and Christ's grace. About a minute and a half before we take our break to start a response on that.
You know, we've been talking about the fact that we are, you know, in need of having Christ's presence with us, but we don't always recognize that. I mean, when the sun is shining, when things are good, you know, I mean, we might acknowledge it, but it's not at the front of our being. But in the darkness, in the evening, in the face of death, that statement, I need thy presence every passing hour, we can resonate with that. And we can resonate, and that word grace, that's the word gift, that takes us to the cross. That's what the Emmaus disciples discovered when Jesus opened their eyes to understand the scriptures. That's what defeats the devil. And here he brings in the devil, the tempter. I mean, he talked about other things, but here he actually faces down that other thing, that evil, that presence that is not the presence of the Holy One, but the presence of the evil one. And that we live in a world in which there is, you know, both cloud and sunshine, and it doesn't matter whether it's cloud or sunshine, Christ still is something that we yearn for, that we need. And again, this is just, I mean, he captures our feelings. He captures the emotions that we have, and he does it in a biblical way. He does it in a very concrete way, and he does it in a way that we can resonate. This is, in many ways, one of my favorite verses of this hymn because of that first line. It is the Emmaus story. It is the reality of the entire scriptures, the presence of Christ bodily among us.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the great hymn, Abide With Me. We'll be right back.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt. France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Welcome back. We're studying the hymn, Abide With Me. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. He's professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. You can find out more about these resources under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. One more question on that third stanza, Dr. Just. When the hymn writer says, "What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power?" You mentioned the tempter before the break, but how is it that it is God's grace in Jesus Christ that foils Satan's power?
Well, it is on the cross where Christ, you know, is the victor over Satan. And you know, if you think of life as a pilgrimage, and as we take this journey, you know, to heaven in this world, as we, you know, encounter temptations and we fall into sin and we give in to the tempter's power, the only way we can make it is the fact that he goes before us into the well-fought fight, as the other hymn, Great for All the Saints hymn, says. I mean, he is our captain. He's the one who leads us into the desert, and he fights on our behalf, and we can only defeat Satan if he is with us, and he is going to be the victor because he's already won the battle in the cross. That's the key to it all. I mean, this battle has already been transacted and won, and we already have the victory in him. That's going to come up in the second to last hymn when the hymn writer quotes 1 Corinthians 15, "O death, where is thy sting?" This is the beauty of being in Christ, and this is why we need Christ and we need communion with him. That's why we constantly go to church to hear his word, to receive his body and blood, because he is out there in front of us, and we you know, have this yearning, this need, this longing to be attached to him because we need him. We are going to fall. We are going to sin, and those sins haunt us most at night. You know, they haunt us in the evening. They haunt us as we approach death. And that's why this hymn is such a comfort, because it tells us that no matter what we've done, no matter what horrible thing that has happened to us, no matter how the tempter has gotten to us, Christ forgives us. Christ, he heals us. He cleanses us. He takes us into himself and abides with us.
The fourth stanza of Abide With Me: I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Dr. Just, is this, in a sense, kind of a turning point stanza in
this
hymn?
It is. And you know, you can't help but think of Henry Light, the author of this hymn. I mean, he finished this, the story goes, the day he was going to give his farewell sermon, and then he was going to go off to Italy to recuperate, and he never made it. He died along the way. So here he finishes this hymn and then gets into the pulpit and preaches his farewell sermon. And he must have known he was dying, and he writes these things. I mean, he writes that you know, like Paul does in that great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Ills have no weight, tears no bitterness. He must have had terrible pains and ills from tuberculosis. He must have had tears of bitterness. But at this point, as he's about to give his farewell sermon, as he finishes this hymn, you know, he sees the triumph in his weakness. He sees the triumph in his suffering. He sees the triumph in his own death. Now, that is at the heart of the gospel. That's the heart of the theology of the cross. That's at the heart of Emmaus, that the Christ must suffer and then enter into his glory. Henry Light sees his suffering, but then he now sees that death doesn't have a sting, that grave has no victory, that he has the triumph of Christ now as he lay dying and as he gets into the pulpit to preach a farewell sermon to his congregation. I mean, a lot of hymns have these great stories of men and women who have written them under terrible suffering, but such great hymns of hope that it is just astounding. It's an example of the faith of these men and women who can write these things in the face of such horror.
Now, the final stanza is like no other final stanza I can think of in Christian hymnody. This is the one that has come to characterize this entire hymn, making it a hymn that only a Christian can possibly sing. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes, shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Dr. Justin, I almost hesitate to ask a question because I don't think anyone can say anything better than that.
I totally agree. I mean, it brings tears to your eyes every time you hear it. It's just, and it does show you that this is a hymn about death and seeing the light that comes in Christ at the end of life and what we look forward to. It's stunning. It's stunning.
Talk about how it is precisely in death for the Christian where Christ abides with us.
Well, you know, the thing about death is that Christians have the capacity to both both see its sorrow and mourn, because there is a loss. I mean, death is not the way God created it to be. And yet Christ has transformed death by his death, and he's made it not an end, but the beginning of an entrance into an eternal reality, which is really what, you know, the whole Christian pilgrimage is all about. That's why baptism is what baptism is. Baptism is when we're joined to the eternal one, so that we're no longer living in a body that just simply dies and decays, and that's it. Our body is now, you know, made by the waters into what God intended us to be at the beginning, to be somebody who is eternal and healthy and whole. And that's because our bodies are joined to Christ's bodies. So like I always like to say, we get death over with in baptism. And that's why when death comes, you know, the ancient church would make the sign of the cross with holy oil upon the forehead, the same oil that was used at baptism to remind one to have the smell of Christ there, the smell of eternity, you know, in the room in which the person is dying. I mean, there's such hope for the Christian, and they can see, you know, as their eyes close, that all of this is because of what the Emmaus disciples are talking about on the road to Emmaus, about that the Christ should suffer and then enter into his glory. I mean, that's why the cross is what brings lightness in the gloom that, that points us to the greater reality, you know, and that's where we can see the morning skies open and heaven open up to us, because that's what happened at the cross. That's what happened at the baptism of Jesus, happened at the transfiguration, and that's what happened at the cross, that heaven opens up and heaven is now on earth here in the person of Jesus. And that's why we want communion with it. That's why we want to abide with him, because that is what the ultimate and final yearning and longing of every human being is.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the hymn, Abide With Me. We've heard all five stanzas. When we come back, we're going to hear the entire hymn as we study it, and we'll get some final thoughts from Dr. Arthur Just. It is a great way to end a hymn. The night, that long evening, and the night is over, and heaven's morning is breaking. This is something that we don't have to wait for, as Dr. Just rightly said. It's not something that we have to wait for death to see. It has already become a reality for us in our baptism in Jesus Christ. We'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side of the break and hear the entire hymn, Abide With Me.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. 10 more minutes in our study of the hymn Abide With Me with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Just, we've talked about this hymn Abide With Me as an evening hymn, as a funeral hymn, as a communion hymn. Talk about it, picking up where you left off on the other side of the break, as a baptism hymn as well.
Well, you know, the thing about baptism that I think we sometimes just don't accent enough is that this is when our life becomes, you know, the life of Christ. And this is when Christ begins to abide in us. You know, we're in Christ and Christ is in us. And this is now the reality of the rest of our lives. So we have that built-in presence, so to speak, that we know is there. And yet because we are living, you know, under the cloud of brokenness in this world, we are, you know, terribly broken by by the fact that we have this terrible thing that we live under, this darkness, this sin. But we know that Christ abides there. He's with us. He's totally present with us. And that's what baptism is about. You know, our life and Christ's life are joined. And that's why Paul got it so right in Romans 6, you know. We are joined to his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. I mean, the whole thing becomes ours. We take the journey with Christ in baptism. I mean, this is why pilgrimage is such an important thing for me, because the gospel is a journey, Christian life is a journey, the church here is a journey, and baptism is a journey. It's a journey to life in Christ. And it's just the most incredible, you know, reality that baptism is. And that's why this, you know, to abide with Christ means to be baptized into Christ, to hear his word, to receive his supper, to be with him throughout our life. We don't have to wait until death to abide with him. He's with us from the moment we enter the waters of holy baptism.
Here is the Liverpool Cathedral Choir with the entire hymn, Abide With Me. The hymn Abide With Me, performed by the Liverpool Cathedral Choir. Dr. Just, millions of people outside the U.S. watched Emily Sandy sing this hymn, Abide With Me, during the opening ceremonies of the London Summer Olympics. People who heard this hymn for the first time, tell them, what does it mean that Christ abides with us?
That very last line, in life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. That is the reality of what it means to be in Christ and to have Christ in us. Why did Jesus become human? Why did he take flesh? So that he could experience everything that we experienced. And so those of us who are baptized into Christ, we know that everything that we suffer, he suffered. Every melancholy we had, he has. And his melancholy is ours, and ours is his. That his sadness is shared by us, and we know that our sadness is shared by him. That he was lonely on the cross and said, why, my God, have you forsaken me? He experienced what it means to be human, and yet he did it without sin. And so those of us who are sinners, all of us, we are the ones who can only understand what it means to be whole and perfect by understanding what it means to abide in him, and to see that he conquered loneliness and melancholy and sadness and sin by his life, his suffering, and his death. And so to abide in him is to be fully human, to know what it means to be as God created us to be, you know, in the garden before the fall. And that's what it means to be joined to him in holy baptism, to be able to share with him in everything, including suffering and darkness and evening, you know, sadness. Jesus is the one who is in us, and we are in him. And I encourage everyone to go and listen to what we were not allowed to hear in this country, that wonderful rendition at the Olympics, and to see that it's about death. It's about those who lost their lives on July 7th in 2005, those 52. I didn't even know about it till I Googled it and read about it. And the whole thing is about how life and death are contending, and you have this incredibly soft but beautiful rendition of Abide With Me that shows us that in life and in death, it is Christ who abides with us. That is our deepest longing. That is our greatest hope. And that is what we all have now in baptism, in the supper, and we will have completely one day when we are joined with him and all the angels and archangels in the company of heaven.
We will, by the way, have a link to that performance at our website under the Listen On Demand page, issuesetc.org. Dr. Arthur Justice, professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you for the privilege of talking about this wonderful hymn.
Folks, if you appreciate these hymn studies, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Remember, no gift is too small, and for first-time donors, we're going to send you, as a way of saying thank you, the new Issues, etc. Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad. It's a mouse pad just like you have in front of you, and it has the logo for Issues, etc. and Lutheran Public Radio on it for first-time donors to Issues, etc. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure financial contribution online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for thinking of us during the difficult summer months. The great comfort here is that he does abide with us. You need never fear being separated from Christ. The apostle gives us this assurance that Christ, having joined himself to you in death and resurrection in the water of holy baptism by his word, cannot be separated from you. Nothing can can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus makes a promise that he is with us to the very end of the age. It's the last promise he leaves with his disciples before his ascension. And he means it. He keeps that promise through baptism, through the preaching of his word, and especially through his presence there in his body and blood on the altar in the Lord's Supper. He abides with you. He abides with his whole church. He not only abides with us and stays with us and beside us and within us, he is the life that drives both you, the Christian, and the church forward to that great consummation where, as he promises, where I am, you will be also in the resurrection of all flesh. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.